Good afternoon and welcome to Talk of the Town. And I'm your host, Rick Thompson. And we have a very special guest and I think a friend to all of Saratoga and the county, our supervisor from Saratoga Springs, Matt Veach. Morning, Matt.
Hi, good morning. Good afternoon.
Afternoon and good night.
This is an internet show, right?
So that's right.
You have to say them all.
It can be anything, you know. We don't have to say what it is. Right. No. And it's sunny and 90 degrees
exactly.
out every day.
I feel great.
So you're running again.
Yes.
And I think the reason why is number one, you know, I'll have you tell us why. I think you're a very popular person. This is your fifth term.
I'm in my fifth term.
You're in your fifth term. We have 2-year terms for supervisor, and you've won because you do a good job for the county. Number one.
Thanks.
And you bring a lot to the city, so you know that's always a bonus. But what drives you to run for supervisor?
Well, that's a good question. Well, I mean, I think, you know, I come from, I'm a fifth generation Saratogian, so I've lived my whole life here, save for 5 years when I was at college. And my family has been here for a lot of years. So, one of the things that was instilled with us, from our family really was, you know, the love of the city and the fact that we come from a really special place. And, you know, one of the things that we were kind of taught was to, you know, do things for it, do what you can to make it a better place. I mean, really, and the desire for supervisor for me is, you know, it is a county level position. Mm-hmm. But really at the end of the day, you're representing your city at that level. So, county decisions affect the city.
Sure.
You can go further up than that. State decisions affect the city and so do national decisions. So, mm-hmm. you know, the level above the local government, if you want to call it that, at the county level is one of those places. And, you know, I'm proud to be able to make whatever difference I can there at that level to help people here in Saratoga Springs.
That's great. And like you said, I mean, on a county level, it affects the whole area.
Yeah.
I mean, we have, you know, very highly populated areas, very various areas with a high median income.
Mm-hmm.
But then we have some small towns that aren't so lucky as let's say Clifton Park and Saratoga Springs, but they have to be helped out by the county.
Sure. Well, I mean, I don't know if they would say they need to be helped out or that they're not as lucky, but
I
would say that, you know, if you ask those supervisors, but I know what you're saying, and some of those towns actually would prefer to be small.
I mean,
they make their own decisions, but you know, the truth is you're right. I mean, the largest town in Saratoga County is Clifton Park,
right.
And larger than the city of Saratoga Springs. And they have, I believe, somewhere in range of about 38,000 residents or so in their mm-hmm. town. And the smallest town in Saratoga County is the town of Day, which has less than 1,000 people.
Sure.
So you have that range of needs that you have to meet at the county level. So,
right.
And the city of Saratoga Springs and the city of Mechanicville are the two cities. Everybody else has a town. The forms of government are a little bit different, which, you know, we're kind of dealing with that right now in the city. But, you know, you have to deal with everybody's needs when it comes to the county to some degree, but really I represent Saratoga Springs, so
right.
that comes first. I mean,
oh no, that
time.
Comes first. But what I meant, I probably,
you know, it's interesting, but just quickly to elaborate on that a little bit is that the county does a lot of things that are the like, I don't want to say unfunded mandates because I don't want to get in that discussion, but
mm-hmm.
We handle a lot of times the last resort kind of stuff. So social services, mental health services, public health services, you know, those kinds of things. You know, we basically handle those that are the indigent of the county. So like, you know, like a public defender and those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
So we really are the ones that are the last resort for some people. And whether it's Saratoga Springs or another town, you know, we have to be able to provide for that for people.
Sure.
You know, we do other things that aren't quite that way. Like we have the youth department and some of that kind of stuff, which mm-hmm. are a little more, Well, even that, we deal with more kids who need help.
Sure.
You know, it's really, that's what we do with the county, whether it's aging, you know, those kinds of things as well. It's always the folks who need the assistance that we're there for.
And I guess that's probably what I was alluding to, not that, you know, but I think some areas need more of that type of service. I mean, we're very lucky in Saratoga Springs.
Oh, yeah.
We have a lot of nonprofits that probably take some of the burden off of the county to.
Absolutely.
But you do provide what they, you make up what they can't provide.
Right.
So that's what I probably meant to say.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I mean, again, the needs are different depending where you live in the county.
Sure.
I mean, you know, the housing needs are somewhat different. You know, it all depends on, you know, and again, if an issue is brought up at the county level, you know, our job is to try to fix it, so or make it so it works for people. If there's some problem, so I mean, I occasionally get calls where, you know, the system isn't quite meeting the needs of a certain individual or a group of people, and my job is to try to make sure we're doing what we can for people, you know, reasonably, you know, at proper taxpayer expense and everything else. But you know, that's our job, and you know, I'm willing to do it. And again, for the people of Saratoga Springs, absolutely. And interestingly enough, in some of those, because we are a city, in some of those departments that I was talking about, you know, we are, it's to some degree, our community is the largest, you know, consumer of some of those things. You know, mental health, when we did a study, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, when we were relocating the building from near the hospital to the new place.
Right.
That was why it's where it's at, really. I mean, I know there's some people who may have other opinions as to why it wound up where it was, but truth is we did a census, and we found the number one community zip code was 12866 that used that service, and the second highest was Ballston Spa.
Sure.
So the central area of the county, Saratoga Springs, Ballston Spa, were used the highest amounts of mental health services, at least, for the county. So to move it to, say, Milton or southern part of the county, or even to the northern part of the county, where
would have been difficult.
You may have had less land cost, or you could have maybe built a building, but you weren't going to meet the needs of your constituents, your population.
Sure. Well, one of the things too is, you know, it's funny when you mentioned where you located the new facility, which is very nice when you go by. I mean, it's very well maintained. It's a beautiful building. You could do anything. You could put Taj Mahal somewhere. People would complain that, you know, you're never going to get
100%. Wasn't in the right place.
You're never going to get 100%. But no, I think you're right. You needed something centrally located just so, you know, people don't have to travel so many miles. Yep. They can just hit it in the middle. Now, give me about 10 minutes to tell me what committees you're on.
And,
no, I'm only kidding. It seems like it could fill 10 minutes.
Well, let's see, the highlights, right?
Yeah, the highlights. Because you do a very good job on all of them, but give us the highlights.
I think one that's the one that I'm busiest with right now is the chairman of the open space committee at the city.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good one. And we've been working really hard on that kind of stuff. But I just got voted in as the president of the Saratoga Preservation Foundation.
Oh, really?
So that's another one that takes up a lot of time. But that's good. I mean, I really have a passion for the historic buildings of the city. And,
you do.
You know, we have some, I should say, big plans coming up for that organization. We keep to our mission, but we've kind of gotten away from the real core mission of our organization, I think, and you know, which is preserving historic buildings.
Sure.
And so, coming in as the president, I mean, I've kind of spurred hopefully the rest of the board and our director to think about how we could do a real preservation project in the city on a building. I mean, the Spirit of Life thing was unbelievable when we did that a couple of years ago, and great, great, great project. But, you know, how about a house? Let's see where there may be an opportunity for us to find a historic house or something like that and fix it up, get it so it's back into maybe its former glory,
right?
And do something good like that in the city, which is really what we originally started off doing, was repairing old buildings.
Well, one of the things I know it's your passion, because on Facebook you'll put once in a while an old pitcher of Saratoga. And I mean, like you said, I think that's instilled in you from your family background. Your father was a history teacher for quite a while. Your brother just wrote a book about the early century Saratoga.
Yes, crime.
Crime.
That's his passion.
And, well, he's the police chief, so it should be. And he's
tried real hard not to be in that world ever.
Well, he'll be on our show, our radio show in September.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the book and, you know, how he came along with it. And,
cool.
And, yeah, so that'll be a good show.
So, you know, I mean, a couple other ones quickly. The Law and Finance Committee at the county, which is the top committee that they have there. Mm-hmm. I'm the chairman of the Racing and Gaming Committee there, and we're going to talk more about that later. I'm on the Equalization and Assessment Committee, the Veterans Services Committee, the Trails Committee, and I think those are all my county committees. And then I serve as the vice chairman of the state's New York State Association of Counties Public Safety Committee, and I'm also on the IT and Telecommunications Committee for the National Association of Counties. So, you know, one of the things, again, decisions in Washington affect us all the way down here.
Oh,
decisions at the state affect us all the way down here. And I think it's good to have somebody in Saratoga County, and I am that person, especially at the national level, to represent our county at those associations, because they fight for they have somewhat different issues sometimes than we do.
Okay.
But to not be involved is I think detrimental to our county. To just kind of sit on the sidelines and let other people do the decision making isn't helpful.
No, you got to stir the pot.
Yeah.
To make, you know.
And you know, I mean, some of that involves, you know, leaving the county to go to those meetings and things like that. Like the National Association summer conference is coming up next week, so you know, I'll be out of town for a few days, but I'll be there keeping an eye on what's happening in Washington.
Sure.
I mean, and then, you know, today it seems like something's coming out of Washington every single day. So,
oh yeah,
you know,
it's amazing the games that are played, and I don't know how any work can get done, you know. But one of the things you mentioned is the IT committee. You did some amazing things bringing the county into the 20th
century. We just got there.
And just tell us, one of the main things you did was amazing with the time.
Yes. So we had old school punch card clocks at the county. And one of the things that we did was, it was funny, we started like looking into that, and you know, you get the vendors that come to the county and they tell you, we're going to save you a whole bunch of money, and you know, you kind of look at that skeptically sometimes, you know, it won't cost you anything, but we're going to save you all this money, and you know, they're salesmen and that's their job. But you know, we started really kind of looking into it, and we said, what does the county, like by employee, have to do for the time clocks? Like, what if one breaks?
Mm-hmm.
what happens, right? And we have this guy, and he was assigned to the time clocks, and he would have to run around the county in daylight savings time. He spent like, you know, I don't remember, about 20 hours or something like that, changing clocks back 1 hour, because we had, you know, we have 32 departments at the county, and so you have to go to every single department and find the clock and turn it back an hour, make sure it's working.
All the different
test
buildings,
it, go to the next one, test it, you know. So, I mean, it was just a waste of taxpayer money to just turn clocks back and forth twice a year. I mean, really. And every time one broke, there was a problem. And then we had the problems, like it would punch wrong. So an 8 looked like a 3, and a 3 looked like an 8. So when did they leave?
Right.
When did they come in? You know, somebody would forget to punch, and then what happened? You know, so basically we just got tired of dealing with that. And you don't even want me to get started on how you did the timesheets every week.
Oh, I know.
You know, and it was paper. I mean, it was all done by paper. So we found a vendor who was actually, a couple towns already had been using them for electronic timekeeping. And we hired them after, you know, bidding process. And they have been doing it now for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years now. You know, the savings, at least this year, our personnel costs didn't go up at all.
Right.
So, I mean, that was like the first year in a long time that the employee costs kind of stayed steady. It took about a year to implement into all the departments. So I think we're just starting to see you know, it takes time at the county.
Anytime you install a new program, let's say, right. it takes a little time yep. for it to...
But there's no problems. You know when people come in, you know when they don't punch in, you know, it just sure. starts alerting the managers now. And it's not like at the end of the time period, we're trying to figure out what somebody did. Like right. you know, 2 weeks ago, you forgot to punch in. Well, did you really or didn't you? Or what happened?
Sure.
Now you know the day of. It's, you know, so it all just... It's just way more efficient, yeah. and I'm glad that we got it done. It's interesting because I had, you know, two county committee meetings today, and one of the things that we talked about was paperless, and you know, because we still kind of do our meetings in an old school way where the agenda's printed out, the materials are printed out, they're put on the table in front of you in paper form, and you know, we had a meeting that didn't last very long. We had three or four short items. You know, on the equalization assessment for giving some taxes. And then the county administrators, our deputy administrator said, you know, how come we can't like just have these like on a tablet or something to sure. look at? We're not going to really take a lot of notes. It's just informational. And I just kind of looked at him and said, well, I've been working on that for a lot of years.
Sure. Well, yeah, it would, because I know I'm on the board of the credit union and we get the meeting. Yeah. agenda like 5 days before, so
right.
you can read it over and know what's going on when you go into the meeting.
Exactly.
And kind of be prepared.
Yeah, we get ours in the morning, usually beforehand of the day of.
Yeah, but still.
But they're emailed. That's emailed to us.
Yeah.
But when we get to the meeting, all the associated materials usually aren't ready. So
sure.
they have them ready at the meeting, obviously, and
yeah.
they print them out. But
okay.
But to do our meetings online or like on some sort of electronic agenda would be great. Maybe I can convince this guy. I've tried it before, and it didn't really go too far. And, you know, we'll try again.
Well, hey.
If somebody brought it up, then it's, you know.
Just like your time clock thing. I know you went through
that
for a while.
Two tries.
Right.
Yeah.
So you never know. Well, let's go to the racing
yes.
committee or, you know, the racing commission that you're on.
Sure. Sure, the Racing and Gaming Committee.
Yes.
We actually renamed it a few years ago when the casino issue was a big deal.
Yes.
And really, frankly, we really should have probably been called Gaming Committee before that when they opened the Racino originally.
Yeah.
But we just still called it the Racing Committee. But, you know, now with the Rivers Casino open down in Schenectady, you know, something that we have to keep an eye on. And we had a meeting last week, and we had the manager for racing operations from our, you know, casino, Saratoga Casino Hotel, show up and give us a quick report. They were happy to report, and they said it was in a public meeting, so I think I can say this here.
Okay.
they're not down as much as they thought they would be. So that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right off the bat, they had a hit when, you know, kind of the novelty of the new place was open.
Right.
But that's kind of creeped back up. They're still down over 10% from where they were last year.
Right.
But they're not as – they were thinking in the 30 range.
Oh, wow.
And it really didn't materialize. So they're actually happy with where things are right now. I think their hotel has helped them immensely with that.
Well, that's good.
And you know, I mean, Schenectady doesn't have a hotel yet. If they open one, that may become a problem. But, you know, the truth of it is that it's a nicer facility. I've not been to Rivers, but mm-hmm. from what I've heard,
yeah,
we're a nicer facility. It's cleaner.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And it's safer.
Yeah.
And so if you're gonna engage in, you know, gambling, you want to be in the cleanest, safest, nicest environment
and
possible.
There's also racing.
Yes.
In the evening.
Yes.
That people can do.
And
yeah.
they said that they are doing okay with the racing. They're not up. They're kind of flat. So
yeah.
for them, that's a good thing.
Sure.
Never down is always bad. Up would be really, really awesome.
Right.
But
well,
flat is good.
Purses,
so.
I think, decide
and that, too.
That more. Then you know that brings better horses and more attendance.
Yes, yeah. And they've said that really here and Yonkers are really the only two tracks in New York State really that are really at that like higher level.
Sure.
Yonkers obviously they have the Empire City Casino in theirs,
right.
And so there's a and they always had the highest quality racing in New York for harness tracks anyway.
Yeah, a lot of I remember back when Saratoga was real popular. In the 70s, before they changed the laws, a lot of people that had the real good horses that won in Saratoga, they used to ship them down to Yonkers
right.
to compete with the higher. And a lot of times they won a lot of races oh,
yeah.
down there.
Oh, yeah. And, I think that's a mile track down there, actually.
I think so.
Yeah. But, so it's a once around instead of twice. Yeah. But yeah, in terms of that, the quality of racing, we're probably second to them,
mm-hmm.
If not an equal at times. And we have our Sire Stakes. That's coming up next sure. next week. And
but when you put that all together, you know, I mean, I don't think you can have too many hotels in Saratoga, especially from now until probably the end of the fall season.
Yep.
There's always things going on in Saratoga, but I know like all the hotels are booked now through
yep.
the summer, so you get another one. But I you know, and they were afraid if you put a hotel there that it was going to hurt downtown.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you,
it doesn't seem to have be. One of the things that we asked for actually at the racing committee was, and it really kind of is a suggestion. I'm not sure which supervisor brought it up, but they're getting their guest comment exit cards, you know, like, you know, when you leave the hotel, they take sure. a survey kind of thing. And they currently, as far as I know, don't have your reason for staying in terms of business versus leisure. But why did you come? Was it because you were coming to the Racino for mm-hmm. a trip yourself, or were you more interested just coming to Saratoga generally?
Sure.
And I think that would be good data for them to have to figure out why their guests are coming. You know, are they coming just for that facility, or are they coming for a bigger reason
well,
or a different
it
reason?
It seems like they could even gauge their marketing.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying.
That.
Right.
Yeah.
So he said they would take it back to the people there, and hopefully they could. But I thought it was a great suggestion. I mean, it would be something that would be
well, definitely.
I
would think that it'd be on their
yeah.
first thing.
Yeah, I mean, they have the Morton Steakhouse there, and you know, you could really make a trip out of it if you wanted to. But
sure.
At the end of the day, if you're more of a hardcore gambler,
right?
But really, I mean, you could stay there and still get to downtown, and you know, we have good taxi service, good shuttle service. We have Uber and Lyft are here now. And
that's right.
It's easy to get from there to downtown or wherever else you want to go.
And it's not that far.
The city.
So, I
yeah.
mean, it's not going to cost you a fortune to take right. an Uber ride or a taxi, taxi ride.
Right.
So the Sire Stakes are next week?
Yep. I think it's called the Garrity Series or okay. something like that. It's a big deal. It's like a $250,000 purse is like six or seven races, and it's
and
yeah,
then
the best
we've got
in the country.
Opening of the flat track next Friday.
Yep.
A week from this Friday.
Yep, the
21st. Yeah,
yep.
21st. And I can't wait.
But, neither can I.
So, and not that I gamble, but I work as security there. So
I've been known to visit the window a time or two.
But that's okay. As long as you stop by and say hi.
That's right.
And of course, that brings in an enormous amount of people. I think I heard a figure at one time, our city increases by 30,000 people
mm-hmm.
During the 6 weeks,
yep.
which is enormous.
Yeah,
I mean,
doubles.
Yeah, it's amazing. All right, why don't we talk a little bit about the trails?
Mm-hmm.
You were, again, you were kind of the impetus behind this trail system. You're a big bicyclist. I know that. And I get tired just reading the races you're in or the rides you take. But tell us about the trails.
Right. So the good news is that we have a we just got a grant at the city level for the Greenbelt Trail Downtown Connector,
mm-hmm.
Which is basically a trail that runs centrally through downtown. The Spring Run Trail, which is over by East Avenue, is part of that. It ends at East Avenue. So the Downtown Connector is to continue that trail from East Avenue down Excelsior and then up Excelsior Hill. And then into, oh, actually, no, it goes stays down on High Rock Avenue. And we'll go by the Farmer's Market and into
okay.
that area. So kind of connecting that, the East Avenue area to the downtown area. And I don't know if it goes any further than that, but I know that when the new parking garage comes for the city center,
uh-huh.
That they've already built the downtown connector trail as part of that project.
Okay.
It'll go underneath there's going to be like a big archway area, one part of it, and the downtown connector trail will go underneath that.
Have they ever figured out what kind of garage is going up there? Is that
well, they have. They have the plans, I think, are done, but it's still going through. You know, there are some challenges in courts and stuff like that. So, whether they succeed or not, we'll see. But if they succeed, then it'll start construction right after that, pretty much. So, that's the reason. I mean, everything else is completed. Then planning board approval, city approval, all that's done. So, just need to get through that.
The hoops. And, yeah, all right.
And we'll get there. But that's really the big thing in trails right now. There's nothing really new for I don't think, on the county side of things. We're going to be extending our Zim Smith Trail south into Mechanicville, so that's coming up soon. We did a couple of approvals, I think, last month where we, you know, got the money ready for that. And we had some money in our capital account already for that kind of stuff. So moving it down south from where it is to Mechanicville. Once it gets to Mechanicville and that's all completed, then the challenge is getting it north to Saratoga Spa State Park. So the trail was always envisioned to get to that point. I think bigger than that. Where, I mean, I could see it going all the way to Moreau and connecting to potentially the South Glens Falls. The Warren County Bikeway goes from Glens Falls to Lake George.
Oh, okay.
And which I've ridden that several times, and it's really, really great. But to maybe get Saratoga County trails up to that border, figure out a way to get it to the Warren County Bikeway, and then you could go from Mechanicville to Lake George, potentially.
That'd be something.
Not completely off-road, because even the Warren County Bikeway has a couple on-road sections, but mostly off-road. And really, at the end of the day, I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of Mr. Cuomo, but one of the best things he did in this budget was that the New York State Trail that he wants to build from New York City all the way to the Canadian border. And part of that will run through Saratoga County. I don't think any of it's in Saratoga Springs, but the Champlain Canalway Trail that we have going right now in Saratoga County, which runs along the eastern edge of the county, it's town of Saratoga, town of Northumberland, town of Stillwater, that's going to be part of that trail. So the millions, or I don't want to put $34 million or something like that into that.
Yeah.
And it will have an off-road, essentially an off-road bike trail from Manhattan to Rouse's Point.
That's neat. That's
which
really
is pretty
neat.
Amazing. Champlain.
Yeah, bicycling is getting to be very popular. It's always been popular, but there's more and more. And I think it's because of the trails.
I think it's part of it. And I think, you know, we have a very healthy county. I mean, we win healthiest county in all kinds of different magazines now.
Sure.
And I just think there's a couple of things. People of my generation, I'll say that. I'm 45.
Okay.
If you're asking.
Yeah. I didn't ask, but I mean, it's good to know.
But, you know, I think a lot of folks are into that. From, you know, I meet a lot of people who are, you know, maybe a little older and a little younger, but that era of folks that are kind of into it. I know a lot of bicyclists that are around my age, and I mean, they cover the whole gamut. But you know, I think we're like the parents of the kids.
Sure.
And so, we're teaching our younger kids and our high school kids and our elementary kids now, like, about safe biking. There was a thing actually in the paper this week about the sheriff giving out free ice cream cones to kids who they find with helmets on.
Oh, neat.
And there was something in Malta that they did. And, you know, that's great. I mean, that's the wave of getting that going. So translate that into, you know, the big government issues, right?
Yeah.
There's really been a push in Saratoga Springs for bike lanes on some of our roads. That's kind of a challenge right now. I think we talked about that on our other show.
Yeah, we did talk about it on the Saturday show, and it was funny because I had to get over to the arterial, and I went over, brought North Broadway, and you have bicycle paths on there. We were just talking about it, and I never knew that.
Yep.
And, you know, one of the things I think is not a lot of people know what's going on with the bike trails. And I think, you know, we should have a way to make them aware of what's going on. And you know, I mean, like I said when we opened, that you've been a big impetus behind this bicycle
and walking paths too. I mean, we started the trails committee back in 2009 or something like that. Mm-hmm. We'd never had one at Saratoga County before. you know, I guess I'll take the credit.
Well, you
and
should.
We pushed for trails, and we built several good trails, woodland trails, really, at the county, which are a little bit different, but good to bring your dog out walking and whatnot. And, mm-hmm. and we have our challenges with those, too. I mean, there's certain regulations that we don't have in the county trails, and we're working on that.
Sure.
I think we talked about that on the radio show, too, that some folks are, you know, discharging firearms in a way that's unsafe on some of those trails. And the good news is we actually had another meeting last week at the county where we talked about that. We had the sheriff come in, and we had the planning department come in. So finally, I'll say finally, we're taking a little more of a better approach to the safety of residents out there when they're out walking on those trails.
Sure, so, more of a hardline approach to the people shooting.
Yeah,
because that it's legal.
Yeah.
but some people are using it for the wrong reason.
Right, right. I mean, I call it the private gun ranges. And
sure.
It's our land, and, there's a liability issue
there is.
So.
Well, that's good. I mean, it sounds like racing and the trail systems are going along okay.
Yeah.
And you're making strides in those areas. Let's talk about... what's happening with public safety?
Okay. Saratoga County, we mainly deal with the Sheriff's Department in Saratoga County. Mm-hmm. So we have our city police department, but that's really kind of run by the Commissioner of Public Safety in the city. But we deal with the Sheriff's Department. And we've actually faced a few challenges over the last, decade there. In terms of space and size and the growing needs of law enforcement, really, essentially, countywide. So, our 911 dispatch center is essentially placed in the middle of the building, and there's a lot of activity going on around there. We are double bunking inmates in the summertime in Saratoga County Jail, which is actually, I don't want to say it's prohibited by New York State. They give us a waiver to do that. Basically because we've said to them we have a plan for taking care of that problem.
Sure.
The sheriff's offices are too small. There's not enough room for them to, when they get all the officers there in the morning, there's more officers now than there was in the 70s when we built the building. There's not enough room. There's not enough lockers. So there's that.
Oh, yeah.
Then at the other side of the things, in our main county complex, our probation department is basically in the basement of a building. Our emergency services, the Office of Emergency Services, which is the coordination of all the fire and police, they're in the basement of the building one, and their office is literally, you can barely walk through it. I mean, I've been in there, and it's really hard to, and there's only a couple people working in there. It's not like a huge department, but there's just not even enough room for like the two or three people we have there.
Right.
So,
if there's an emergency, you're going to have more than two or three people in there.
Yeah, absolutely. So. And there's also been a, which is kind of a little unrelated, but we have a, not a space need for public health, but the Woodlawn Avenue building in Saratoga Springs has become, to the county, is a older building. It takes a lot to maintain. Mm-hmm. There is definitely a parking problem around that building.
Oh, yeah.
People who like park in the county spaces, it's private property there, but people don't really understand that. We mm-hmm. do have signs up that say it's for county business only, right. But people just walk through and they
and you got and one way traffic and they go in to turn around and they go in the wrong way.
So it's kind of logistically difficult there. So those are the departments that we plan to put in a new public safety building out at the county farm jail
That's
location
neat.
in Milton.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I have a little bit of concern with the public health side of it. I'd rather keep the services in Saratoga Springs.
Sure.
We found out that about 50% of the staff, though, is office staff there. At Woodlawn. So you could move them to another location. It's the nurses that you want to make sure you have still in the city. We got to figure out a way to get those services to the people.
Sure.
So we have an idea of where we may actually do a kind of a moving public health service where it's in different parts of the county in different days of the week or however we decide to do that. And to have like a vehicle that they can kind of get in and take around and make sure that everybody gets the service that they need.
Yeah, I think there's a dentist that does that. He's got like an office in a big van, a box van, and he goes to different areas.
Yep.
To do, I think that's a pretty good idea because at least you know when they're going to be there.
And, absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's a kind of an idea that we have. So we don't lose the service in Saratoga Springs, but we can still achieve the space needs. Mm-hmm. And again, when they move sheriff, dispatchers, Office of Emergency Services, probation, and public health, that will free up space in the jail for us to finally expand that mm-hmm. to meet the state's mandate of, you know, the proper number of cells for the number of inmates sure. that we have. So, and then again, you know, I'm not whatever the inmates got to do, they got to do. But,
right.
you know, if the state says you can't double bunk them, then I guess we got to abide by that.
Right.
So.
Well, not only that, but I think you're gonna see a more efficiently run building. And because, like you say, the you want to keep the nurses.
Yes.
But, you know, these older buildings cost more to heat.
Yep.
Cost more to, you know, keep cool in the summer.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I liken that to, and I know there's nothing we can do about it because it's a very historical building, but
yep.
our city hall.
Yeah.
I mean, our police department could use a new building.
Yep.
Because there's more police now than there was when the sure. building was built.
Sure.
And I remember the interview rooms and you know.
And a lot of that's gotten better. I mean, they did a capital improvement to the police mm-hmm. offices generally. The upstairs offices where the commissioner is and the police chief, and those are far better than they were.
Oh yeah.
But I would agree with you in the sense that you know, there's still not enough room for the police officers in Saratoga.
Right.
I don't know if the city has any plans to go forward with that. When I first got elected, that was one of the biggest issues that we were dealing with.
I know.
And you know, and again, I made a maybe naive at the time, but maybe not. You know, comment to say that, you know, the county would, you know, I would fight to see what kind of funding the county could put into that. You know, it's specifically to Saratoga Springs, it'd be hard to get county funding for a specific community.
Sure.
But again, maybe there is an opportunity somewhere where we can join forces with the sheriffs, maybe a substation or something like that. And if that was the case, you know, then maybe there's some opportunity for some county funding.
Definitely.
There. I don't know. Yeah. I found in my 9.5 years going on 10 at supervisor that, you know, if you can make a justification that works for both sides, they will listen.
Right.
If you say, you know, we want to build a public safety building for Saratoga Springs and give us money, well, that doesn't work so well.
Right. No, but if you can blend the two,
yeah.
it makes it.
And we've been able to do that really actually quite well with the fire department because they are the county hazmat team.
Okay.
There's actually a county vehicle at Lake Avenue. Sometimes it's over at West Avenue, but mm-hmm. it's mostly at Lake Avenue. It's the county hazmat response vehicle. And our department is the only 24/7 department in the county. And they respond to those hazardous material spills and things like that from Lake Avenue. They had some needs a few years ago where they were running out of space for storage of equipment. We were able to get some money from the county to buy that's like basically one of those big roll-off trailers that you see like at the ports and stuff.
Sure.
It's really huge, just a huge trailer, but it's really just for storage of the hazmat equipment. We got that money from the county.
Sure.
They were having trouble. I don't want to say trouble, but they had a need for managing the hazmat team better. And they needed to create a position of a hazmat coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
One officer, one fireman in the fire department would be designated the hazmat coordinator, and they would kind of be the ones to make sure all that stuff's up to date. You know, one thing you don't realize sometimes in fire and police is that, you know, things like the Narcan and the things like
fire extinguishers,
yeah. or chemicals that you have to put on other chemicals to neutralize
right.
them, they all have expiration dates. So a lot of times you get this stuff, you buy it, and then it goes bad, and you have to buy some more. And so
sure.
To have the person to keep track of all that and make sure that everything was up to date and up to speed, we didn't have any real position to do that. It's kind of left up to the shift leader,
right.
you know? So we designated a guy, and they got a stipend for that. And that's all county funds. So the city pays nothing. But I was able to help push that down at the county level. So when it's mutually beneficial, it's easier, but yeah, sometimes they'll help the city out directly, but that's a tougher sell.
It's a tough sell. Yeah. But, you know, I think in today's world, no matter how well a city's off a city is, I think sharing some services is beneficial to mm-hmm. as many parties as want to
absolutely.
Put in and share, because the cost of things today are...
And that's an interesting, you know, we're going off our track here, but okay. It's an interesting thing you bring up, is that, you know, the state has the shared services initiative this year, and that was something we could have put on as a topic, but we'll talk about it anyway.
well, we got time.
You know, the governor and the state legislature this year mandated that the county lead a shared services panel, which basically involves all the leaders of all the communities in our county. So that's all the town supervisors, the city mayors, as well as all the village mayors, mm-hmm. which is, that's new. I mean, I don't even know some of the village mayors, because I deal with the town supervisors. I don't really deal with the villages, but they showed up, and that was interesting to meet a few of the mayors, because, you know, you don't see them
right.
At the county level. But we started talking, and we, you know, the county, it's really interesting, because we're such a home rule county where each community can kind of make its own way, mm-hmm. We don't always know what other communities are doing. It's like everybody's kind of in their own little silo.
Right.
And so when
sounds familiar. No,
yeah, anyway, yeah, right.
Go ahead.
When we all kind of sit down together, we all kind of look around the table and go, like, well, what are you doing, and what are you doing? And I don't know, and do I want to share? I mean, that's the question. Like, we didn't even really ask that question, but you could tell on the faces, like, do I even want to share my secrets that I know that I use to get to make my town run the way it runs efficiently? So it really was kind of left up to the county, and our county administrator's done a pretty good job of looking for where we can share services. So I was talking earlier about national, state, and local.
Sure.
Well, because we're part of the National Association of Counties, we're a member of a purchasing program that basically conglomerates nationally things that a county might need, whether it's paper and pencils or heavy equipment or you know, any other kind of need that you might have for your county. Furniture, you know, those kinds of things.
Yeah.
And so you could get a really great discounted deal, because if you all buy the same chair, let's say nationally, that's a huge discount, because you're going to sell in a major bulk, right?
Sure.
And we actually have identified, and we're not sure if it's exactly going to come out this way, but we looked at just basic office supplies. And if every town in the county and every village in the county and every city in the county joined up and became part of this national plan, let the county order it for you,
right?
Essentially, they were saying it could save up to 30% of your cost. So if you spend, if you spend $10,000 on something, paper, let's say, so you're now spending $7,000 on paper, and then multiply that by all the other things that you buy at the county or at the city, and that's your saving. So.
Right.
That could even be a hit in your taxes eventually at the end of the day, if we were all to join together.
Sure.
Now here's the kicker, right? Towns have the option to opt out. No one's held to the
right
to the feet to the fire on it, because we're home rule state, home rule county. But when you do, if you don't take it on, you have to justify why you're not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to actually say, well, I don't want to be part of the 30% savings, because maybe you're getting 40% savings somewhere.
Right.
And that would be a reason why you wouldn't want to do it. But when I looked at it, it looked really, really like a really good idea for like kind of all of us to get together. And that's like non-controversial, non-political, my opinion. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
Like, just what you buy is just doing what you do. It's just doing business, right?
Well,
I mean, if it was something like, I hate to even say this, but countywide assessing or
mm-hmm.
Or police dispatching, which has been a controversy in our city.
Sure.
Whether the county does it or the city does it. Those are controversial and somewhat political.
Right.
So we don't want to even look. I mean, the savings might be bigger at the end of the day, but we're not really going to look at that, because we don't want to go there.
Right. Sometimes turf means a lot.
Right.
And, but, you know, just here again as a sidebar, My hometown of Gloversville and Johnstown are trying to do some shared services.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one city doesn't want to give up their own identity when it won't hurt them. But one of the things they're looking at is to go in on an insurance on the insurance plan,
yep.
so that one city or the two cities would have one insurance plan yep. and make the premiums cheaper.
Yep.
And to me, that's a no-brainer.
I know.
With
I know.
Areas.
So we have that's our second option, but it's not for active employees. It's for retirees. So almost every town in the county has some sort of a retiree health plan,
mm-hmm.
And the county has one. And so that was one where we looked at potentially doing that as well. Now, that was one that did bring some immediate questioning from some of the towns because some towns have like a spouse benefit that like the county doesn't have.
Right.
And so how do we pay that? If you don't do that, then what about my spouses of my retirees that if the spouse dies, you know, they get certain benefit and that it started to become like devil in the details kind of stuff. But, the problem with active employees, really, I don't want to say it's us, but we have 7 union contracts.
That's right. Yeah, it's tied into a union.
And the county has union contracts, yeah. and some of the towns have unions and some towns don't.
Okay.
And then some have some unions in some departments and other departments that don't. So that became, again, we're trying to meet the governor's mandate of shared services.
Right.
But we don't want to do it in a way that's too controversial or political,
right?
So
or too detailed where you're going to spend years trying to figure out
right where's the low-hanging fruit kind of thing. Sure. Right, like what's the thing we can pick off quick and get some kind of get significant savings. 30% is nothing to sneeze at, but you know, not have to go into like a multi-year program or phases.
Right.
You know, it becomes too I don't want to say cumbersome, but if there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah.
And eventually we might do something like that.
Well, that's good.
As of right now, we're not quite there yet. And we're just trying to get through. Good. Another good point that was brought up was that budget gets passed in April. we took a whole month to even start looking at it. So by the end of May, and then the first meeting was in June. We had another meeting in June. We're going to have another meeting in July. It's going to be August. Then it's going to be September. Somewhere in there, there's a deadline for the state to get the plan,
right?
Like October, November. So you're already almost toward, and it's a fiscal year thing. So
okay.
December 31st is like the next fiscal year starts. So there's not enough really this year. There's not enough time. We can't start in January. We had to start in April, and then we didn't really start until June,
right?
Because it takes a month to look. What is the state telling us we need to do? You got to evaluate all that. So, so that's part of the problem. We're really doing a 6-month plan, not a year plan or a 2-year plan. You know, so maybe next year we start again. And all right, here, what's a bigger one we can do? You know. So.
Yeah. Well, that's all good, and I think the public safety building will be unreal. I mean, you need a lot of that, what you mentioned, and it looks like you've answered those problems. I think the last subject before we ask, you know, some of your goals for the coming term is if we can touch a little bit on economic development.
Sure. Sure.
And what you've got in the horizon there?
Well, I mean, I think that really overall Saratoga County is positioned to do really good things with economic development. I mean, there's nothing that I would say like in the plans, I guess, going forward that would be a really big thing that we would do. But mm-hmm. We've been kind of going forward for the last months on working on a few different projects. Now, I'm a member of the Saratoga County Prosperity Partnership. I'm one of the board members. We didn't mention that in my committees that I'm on, but so they have some plans. They have some things that they want to do. There's still the Economic Development Corporation, SEDC, that's still out there. They've actually got a really great project on South Broadway that's kind of taking shape with that affordable housing building.
Okay.
And I guess a business incubator that they're putting in there. I'm not as close to them, so I don't know all the details of what they're doing, but basically from the news reports, it sounds like a really great, great project.
Sure.
You know, I'm generally of the sense that I think that kind of way of doing affordable housing is a good way. Yeah. You know, I know the city has their plan coming up, and you know, I'm not so sure about that, but definitely the site approach is a good approach, and I think this is a one that fits right down that alley, mm-hmm. and for the right at the diner site. So, no, you know, and there's a couple other things going on. I mean, the Prosperity Partnership helped out a couple of small businesses. The brewery out on Geyser Road, mm-hmm. They got a loan from the city that the Prosperity Partnership helped them put together. There's a new tasting room that's over by the Embassy Suites Hotel. It's called the R.S. Taylor, I think it's called. They're new, and they got a grant as well to kind of help with their business from the Prosperity Partnership. So there's a lot of stuff going on. I mean, I found that that's kind of a new thing, this craft brew.
Oh, my gosh. It's popular.
Even ciders, popular. Which is becoming my preferred
that's
thing.
That's right. Well, you know, we have our Kiwanis Club does the coat check for the cider tasting on mm-hmm. a Friday night, and then the beer tasting, which is all craft.
Oh,
at the city center. I think it's in February.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And the cider, it's the second year. Unbelievably, the number of people that go to that thing.
The Lions Club thing, right? The Bruseum?
No, that's not the Bruseum. It's the one in February. I forget.
Oh, the Bartender's Ball?
No. It's a beer tasting on Saturday. They have two shifts. And then Friday night is the cider tasting.
I know what you're talking about.
It's put on by an outfit. It's at the city center. They take the whole thing. I think they had 80
it's
crafters.
It's like Beer Week or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Beer Week. And they had over 80 crafters.
Yep.
This year, and Friday night cider, that's getting to be a popular the cider is going to be a popular thing.
Well, I'm becoming more of a fan of that. Yeah. You know, one of the things that's kind of neat about that is the fact that it can be locally done.
Yeah.
So like I know that Saratoga Apple out in town of Saratoga, they're making their own. And there are so many huge orchards up in the North Country, you know, the Plattsburgh area. There's like some of the biggest apple orchards in the country, I think, are up there. And, you know, they're getting into it. So it's another way for them. And, you know, it's really, you got to say, the state has helped that.
Oh, sure.
Because they relax some of those restrictions on craft beer brewing. And as soon as they did that, all of a sudden, you started seeing these beer makers come up, and it was kind of slow at first. I mean, I think it was back in the 90s that they did that. There was a few, and then I worked at Minogue's Beverage. It was one of my college jobs.
Okay.
All of a sudden, the beer making stuff came out onto the shelves.
Yeah,
like you can make your own.
You can make your own.
Before, you was not really heard of. You didn't like have your own kit. You know, some people made beer, but not a lot of people.
Right.
Then all of a sudden, people were starting to make beer, right? And then some people were starting to make really good beer.
Yeah.
And then they were going to sell it.
That's
right. So, I mean, at the end of the day, that's a good homegrown economic development, which is the topic.
Exactly.
Way to go. And we're doing it locally. You know, the place on Geyser Road makes their own.
Yeah. And they're doing a great business.
Saratoga Lager and the place down on Excelsior Avenue, the Saratoga beer what are they called? I can't think of the name, but Saratoga Lager is their main lager, and then they have an IPA and a ales and all that stuff. So, they were early into the game, and they're actually a little bit bigger of a manufacturer than the other ones. But and there's a few more out there. I don't want to start naming names because
no, I know
you forget people. But you know the they're distilling, you know, whiskey down at the thing on Geyser Road.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
It's a really big market, and I think it just keeps getting bigger. And I think a lot of people, and this is just me, is that they're looking for like variety in their drinks and food and everything else now. I mean, and so this is one more thing where you have this ability to find a multitude of, you know,
products
tastes.
Locally,
right?
Yeah, that's the thing.
And
yeah.
Again, I'm not saying I'm not a fan, but you know, some of those older brews, they're even coming back, you know. Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Utica Club is all of a sudden
Utica
doing
Club
Genesee. There's a lot of people drinking Genesee beer again.
Well, let me just say this. On your election night victory, we'll break out a case of hard cider.
We may have some of that around that night.
Before we go, I just wanted to ask you again, what are some of your goals for the
Yes.
After election, what are some of your goals?
Well, I mean, if I'm lucky enough to win, mm-hmm. I think that there's a couple things I'd like to work on. One of the things, back to the trails, is, and I may even do this year, is start working on trying to get county-sponsored bike routes, like officially designated some of the county roads as bike lanes. And having some signage put up and kind of doing that. I mean, a lot of people I've talked to are out there riding, you know, some of my friends or whatever.
Sure.
And some of the towns are starting to do that, where they put up, you know, share the road and that kind of stuff. But the county hasn't really done that yet. And some of the roads are safer than others, really, to ride on. So we may want to kind of, you know, determine what a good bike route is, and maybe have a committee or something, a subcommittee, look at that. And if we officially adopt that, then we can get the county to sign and mark them. So that's one thing. You know, another thing out there is social services. Mm-hmm. I think that county has somewhat ignored the growth in that over the last couple of years. Our budgets don't really reflect the growth. And so I think we need to kind of look at potentially figuring out in our budget how we can support some of those organizations that are doing that that work in mental health, aging, those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. You know, other than that, I mean, I'm looking generally just to kind of keep things going the way they are. I mean, we're a very successful county. You know, balancing growth against the preservation of quality of life in this county is the number one challenge that we have.
Right.
And, you know, we continue, you know, again, I serve on the Prosperity Partnership Board. They have a certain way of looking at how this county is going to go. I also serve as the chair of the city's Open Space Committee. It's a very different way of looking at how this mm-hmm. county is supposed to move forward. And being a part of both, I think, is beneficial for me. I can see both sides of the issue. But balancing the two and having the broad base of knowledge is really, I think, what gives an advantage to somebody, hopefully like me, when it comes to working on that. So,
well, I'll tell you, all you have to do is keep doing what you're doing, and we'll be lucky to have you as our supervisor again.
Thanks.
So, that finishes up our show with our county supervisor, Matt Veach, who's running for re-election. And November the 7th, I think it is Election Day.
Mm-hmm.
So go to his website, which is...
No one uses that anymore. VeachForSupervisor.com.
Okay.
I have Facebook and Twitter as well, so you can catch me there as well.
Matt Veach, and go and check him out if you're not familiar with Matt, which I can't understand who wouldn't be unless you're new in town, but he's got some great information up on his sites and the Facebook and that. So, Matt, good luck.
Thanks.
And I'm sure we'll have you on again. You're our resident supervisor guest, so we'll see you soon, okay?
Sounds good. Thank you.
You're welcome. And that'll be it for Talk of the Town. And until next time, everybody stay safe.